Open up to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to continue our journey through 1 Samuel. Before we do that, a couple announcements. One, May 5th, all right, is Senior Sunday. And so those graduating and moving on, all right, on May 5th, all right, we're going to celebrate them, recognize them. And so you don't need to call up to the office. I know in the past we've done things where we've asked you to call up to the office, let us know, you know, if you have a graduating senior, all right. How it's going to work is that during both services, all right, there'll be a time where we recognize and bless, all right, those seniors that are graduating and moving on. And so we'll just call them up front, all right. So there's no need to call up to the office and inform us of your kid leaving home. You may want to anyway. You may need somebody just to celebrate with, you know, and in that case, call on up. We'll celebrate with you. May 12th is Mother's Day. All right, guys in a room, kids in a room, circle that. Don't forget that. Celebrate. All right, moms. So May 12th, Mother's Day. We will talk about some new ministry updates on May 12th. All right, would love for everybody to be here, all right, for that on May 12th. Going to kind of update you on some things, some direction moving forward in a ministry here in our church. Okay, so that's May 12th. We good? All right, we open to 1 Samuel? Okay, I'm going to read chapter 17. That's where we're going to be this morning. I'm going to butcher some things. You already know this. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekah. And Ephes-Damon and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. I don't know why we couldn't just say that. Okay, the Philistines stood over here, Israel stood over here, and there's a valley between them. But this is a historical narrative, okay? So we have to include cities we can't pronounce. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem and Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand, morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So it shall be done to the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And they turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of the mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Y'all with me? And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistines looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Sharam as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistines, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from striking down the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." We're going to take a break from talking about Saul here. We're going to look at this first episode of David. And my goal this morning is this, and this is always my goal, is for us to move into another pasture, all right? For us to move into another pasture. If we stay in the same place too long, if a flock stays in the same pasture too long, they start to wear that ground down, right? And they lack nutrition, right? Then they start stepping in their own feces, right? They catch diseases, and that's why, you know, a shepherd leads a flock, right, and rotates them from pasture to pasture to pasture. Because you stay in the same place too long, you start walking in the same path. You beat it down so much, right, that now you're walking in feces, right? My goal every, right, Sunday, right, is to take the passage and go, okay, all right, we got to now move into this pasture. And we need to roll around in this pasture. We need to feed in this pasture. We need to enjoy this pasture. We can't stay the same. We can't stay where we are. We can't stay where we are. In summary, that's it. We take 1 Samuel chapter 17, right, and we ask the Lord, right, move us into a new pasture. We cannot stay where we are. We cannot stay the same. Everybody said amen. All right, so let's first look at David's oldest brother, Eliab. Okay, David gets an assignment from his father. "Son, I want you to take food to your sons, your three eldest that have followed Saul to the battle line, and here's some cheese. Take it to the commander, all right, of their thousands." And so David leaves his flock, all right, with a hired hand, a helper, and he goes to the battle line. All right, he gets to the battle line. He sees the two armies encamped against one another, right? He finds his brothers, right? He's talking to them. As he's talking, all right, to the camp, right, he sees Goliath come out. And he hears what Goliath has to say, right? And he hears what Goliath has to say. And he goes, "Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, nope. Nope." All right? But before we get to his, "No, that's not going to fly," all right? He hears what Goliath has to say. And understand this, Goliath has been saying this for 40 days. Once in the morning and once at night. So 80 times. Goliath has come forward, stepped out front, defied, all right, the God of Israel, taunts them, curses them by their own gods, right? And Israel retreats in fear, and they are dismayed. Both King Saul and the army retreats 80 times, 40 days, twice a day. They have drawn back. They have trembled. They have feared. They have, right, not charged. They've not sent anybody out. And so when David shows up to bring food, he hears Goliath say this. He's like, "No." And I can tell you guys are paralyzed. I can tell y'all paralyzed. This has probably been going on for a while, huh? Figured the battle would be over by now. You know, you left home 40 days ago. What are we still doing here? I see what we're still doing here. And David goes, "Who's this Philistine that defies the army of the living God?" And he starts walking around, right, asking the soldiers, the warriors, these men of war, "Who's this Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Who is he? Hey, why are we trembling? What's the reward?" Right? "Well, whoever kills this man, right, lives tax-free in Israel. Gets the king's daughter." Dave's like, "Who's this Philistine? Let's go." And so word gets back to Saul, all right? But as the word gets back to Saul, Eliab hears David, his youngest brother, walking around saying, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? Let's go." No, we're not going to stand for this. And he accuses David. He accuses David of being arrogant. Okay? He accuses David of assuming. "You're being presumptuous. You think it's that easy? You're being presumptuous, David." David, we've got, you know, commanders back in the tent scheming about how we're going to flank them and, you know, we're going to get them. You're being presumptuous. He goes, actually, who'd you leave the sheep with? Aren't you supposed to be at home keeping watch over dad's sheep? You just got curious, didn't you? You just wanted to come and watch what was happening. Why don't you go on home now? The reality of Eliab, he's kind of like Saul. Because here's what happens. As the oldest brother sees the youngest brother walk into camp with a level of confidence and a level of conviction, it only heightened the insecurity and the fear of Eliab. Imagine for 40 days you've retreated in fear. You've got an enemy standing in front of you, and for 40 days you said, not today, not going to deal with that. Nope, not today. And then your youngest brother walks in, and he says, let's go. I'll go. You ever been so convicted by somebody, whether they did something, you saw them do something, or whether they said something to you, and you knew it was so true, all right, but you didn't want anybody to know it was true, so your response was then to accuse them? Eliab is sitting there going, oh, that's convicting. My younger brother's walking in here. Well, all this confidence, like he knows something. And the reality is I'm so scared. David, his younger brother, had exposed him and the truth hurt. So his response was being arrogant. There's so much evil in your heart. Go home, David. Right? His natural response was just to start accusing David. I've been in those situations in my life where somebody says something or I see something and it just immediately cuts to the bone and marrow and I know it's true, but the last thing I want you to know is that it's true and that I know it's true. So I start immediately firing shots to protect myself, to put up walls, even though that was the most convicting thing I felt all week. How do I dodge that? We have to have the humility, right, to receive conviction from the Lord, to receive truth from the Lord. And not to respond in accusations, not to point fingers at other people, but when the Lord convicts, whether through the means of somebody else, or where the Lord speaks to you and convicts, put your weapons down and accept what is said. Okay, just accept it. I mean, who are we kidding anyway? Who's Eliab kidding? He's been a coward for 40 days. Let's call it what it is. Just accept it. And you know what? And there's times where we're just flat out cowardly. We're just flat out scared. And we're flat out cowards. And we're just flat out insecure. And we just flat out got fears. And when the Lord reveals things and convicts us, or it says things to us, or we see somebody not walk in the ways that we walk in, and we're like, you know, and we get jealous, and let's just accept what is and ask the Lord to help us. Let's not be like Eliab. So anyway, David doesn't respond to his brother going, you want to actually, you know, your dad, our father, told me to come. He told me to bring some food. Would you like some food? Thanks for the insult. Are you hungry? You know, he could have told him, hey, let me tell you why I'm here. He could have told him, hey, the sheep are good. I left him with a trustworthy person. No need to fret. Hey, I'm not being arrogant. Brother, I'm not being arrogant. I'm just trying to figure out why you're such a scaredy cat. Trying to figure out why you're such a pansy. Right? He didn't respond. You know, he goes, what? I mean, what do I do now? Anybody been in a situation with a sibling? Holy cow, what do I do now? I feel like this person's got just a vendetta against me. I'm walking on eggshells. He goes, there's a word. I spoke a word, brother. And he kept moving on to the armies of God and to each individual. And he kept saying these things. Who's the Philistine? Who is he? Come on. So Saul brings David and says, hey, you can't fight him. David's like, yeah, I can. He shows up to Saul and says, let your heart not fail you, king. Let your heart not fail you. Surely I will, all right, I will whip this big, tall ogre. For I've beaten lions. I've struck down bears. The Lord has delivered me from the hand of lions and bears, and he will deliver me from Goliath today, and he will be just like those lions and those bears. So Saul says, may the Lord be with you. Straps the armor on. David's like, nah, not real comfortable in this. Haven't tested this out. But what I do know to be true is I've got right this sling, and I'm pretty proficient with it. So he heads out to the line with his staff and some rocks and his sling. Goliath laughs. What am I, a dog? You come at me with sticks? David's like, I'm going to cut your head off. And I'm going to feed the rest of your army to the birds of the air. So that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And so that this assembly that's been running from you for 40 days knows that God does not save man by spear and sword, for the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm going to cut your head off so they know it ain't got nothing to do with what weapon you come with or how freaking tall you are. It's got to do with something else. And we'll get to that. But I want to start with asking this question. You know, where did David's confidence come from? And this is a stark contrast from what we've been looking at, right, in the person of Saul. Where did David's confidence and his boldness, his conviction, where'd it come from? I want to give a couple of things to you to chew on. The first thing, it came from experience. His confidence, his conviction, and his boldness came from experience. He was the shepherd, right? And this function as a shepherd, this was a dirty job. It was an all-day, it was an all-night job, right? It's oftentimes given to the youngest, right? It wasn't a job people really wanted, right? So David's stuck, all right, with being a shepherd and overseer of the flock. He has to defend our predators, as we see, right? Lions and bears are prevalent in Judah at this time. And so as he watches over the flock, he has got to fight for the flock. He's got to defend the flock, right? In a moment's notice, it's time to go to war. That's why back in chapter 16, when the evil spirit is tormenting Saul, you know, and Saul's like, hey, I got to get some help. Send somebody that can help me. Right? And the servants of Saul said, there's a man from, you know, one of Jesse's son, who's a man of war, who can also play the lyre. He's a man of war. He knows how to fight because he's a shepherd. That's part of the responsibility, is taking up arms and laying your life down for the flock. His experiences as a shepherd provide for him a conviction and a confidence. Then when he rolls up to the battle line and sees Goliath, he's like, I know something you don't. I fought bears and lions, and the Lord has delivered me from them. He's given them into my hands. How are you to be any different? Experiences provide for us a confidence, but the reality is this. In order for us to have experiences, we have to and choose to engage. What if David's sitting in the field, he sees the lions coming, and he goes, you know what? That sheep over there, that one, yeah. That one's really been a pain in my butt. Go ahead, pick him off. Pick her off. Hey, you can have this one over here. This one's got diarrhea right now, and I can't figure out what's going on. Pick this one off. Just save me. I keep stepping in it. No, he has the experience of slaying the lion and the bear, because when he saw the predator coming, he got up and just like that chose to fight. What am I trying to say to you? We only gain experiences and we only grow in our boldness and our confidence when we choose to walk out the Christian faith. We don't gain experiences until we walk out the faith. We don't sit on our hands all week and come in on Sunday morning and expect to, hey, I'm just going to walk out of here in boldness. Well, you know what? I'm just going to confront this thing in front of me with boldness. No, we're like Israel. For 40 days, we're like, not going to deal with that. Nope. Don't have it in me. Until we walk out the Christian faith and we build these experiences where we're able to draw back and we're able to see, you know what, God delivered me through that, right? Then it's at that point that we, right, face these Goliaths, so to speak, in our life. And we're like, yeah, I know. I know who God is. And I've got testimony. I've got credits of him delivering me from all these things over the years. And yeah, I know something you don't. And we face those things. Our confidence comes from experience. And we all have to ask ourselves, what experiences do we have of walking out the Christian faith that should embolden us? That should strengthen us, encourage us, provide for us a posture, right? That's not like, right, as Christians, we shouldn't look at the world and we shouldn't look at things around us like, We have a spirit indwelling us that Paul says that produces a spirit, right, of power and love and self-control, not timidity. What is there to be feared of? If he is for us, who can be against us? David looks different than the rest of Israel. And you and I should look different than the rest of the world. When the rest of the world goes, whoever is right, elected as our next president, right? The world's going, what's going to happen? We all just bunker down, right? Get all your canned foods and get to the bunker. We should look different because we have experiences with God. And you won't have experiences until you walk out the Christian faith, until you obey the voice of God on a daily basis, will you then be able to walk to the battle line in confidence when that day comes. We had a student retreat a couple weekends ago, and we were rehearsing down in the band room. There's a rehearsal room at the office downstairs. It's a little octagon band room. I think we should turn it into like an octagon, like a boxing room at some point. Concrete walls, you know, the room of death. But anyway, we're down there and we're rehearsing and we're playing some songs, and it's me, Kelsey's playing the piano, Grace is singing, then Aaliyah is down there and she's singing, and then Mac Russell is down there with us, and we're playing and we're trying to figure out what songs we want to do here in a little bit. And so we're playing and I see Mac out of the corner of my eye. She's over there tapping her foot, sitting in a chair and she's tapping her foot. And then I start seeing her, you know, play the little air drums, you know, with her hands, right? And so I was like, hey, you know what you're doing? You know how to play? You know, I said, no, not really. You know, but I know, you know, a few things. I said, well, come on. I get up and I hand her the sticks and she's like, no. I said, no, I insist. All right, just rehearsal. And we're just farting around. Get on there. All right, so she starts playing. We're, you know, a couple songs later, you know, I'm like, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call all the students into the worship room. We're going to pack in here. And we're going to have a time of worship together. And Mac, you're going to play the drums. No, I'm not. Yeah, you can. You sounded great, right? And we're like encouraging her. We're like, no, you can do this. You can do this. You sounded great. I'll play the congos. It'll all be well. We'll worship. That's what this is about anyway, Mac. We're just going to worship. And she goes, but if I play the drums, then it won't be about worship. People will just be looking at me going, oh, look, Mac's playing the drums. And it won't be about God. You know, I said, not true. I know you may not understand this, but that's your own pride right now, okay? Let's just set that down, all right? Because what happens, I mean, some Sunday, at some point, you're going to have to, like, use your gifts and do this thing, right? Because I want to see you sit down here on Sunday and playing. And what are you going to do, tell yourself the same thing? Well, if I play on Sunday, you know, then they're not going to be worshiping God. They'll be worshiping me. It's just not true, All right? But what if I make mistakes? Nobody's listening. Nobody cares. All right? We think life's all about us and every moment, like our mistakes are highlighted and everybody's looking. It's not the case. I mess up all the time, Mac. Every Sunday, there's not a song that goes by that I get off beat. All the time. All right? Snobs will recognize it, but everybody else doesn't know. You're fine. No, I don't want to. Yes, you are. Done deal. Signed, delivered. Everybody comes down, right? She plays the drums, the rest of the set. We worship together. It was awesome. Aaliyah was singing, right? We get done, and I'm just like, oh, the wind in my sails, right? This ship is just blowing. And I was so encouraged. Why? Because it was an act of boldness that is so rare. That kind of thing is so rare today. We kind of have this posture, right? When something requires us to be bold or it's uncomfortable, we're like, yeah. You know, we're like vampires, right? And the lights come out. We just go back to the darkness. I was so encouraged by her act of boldness. And you know what the reality is? That moment, that experience where she made a decision, right, to take down the thing in front of her is going to pay dividends later on when there's another enemy standing in front of her. She's got credits in the bank, just like David. No. Not going to fly. There's not a real fear here. That's what David was. There's not a real fear here. Because he had some experiences that told him otherwise. The second thing, when you go, okay, where did David's confidence come from? Experiences. But then before David was a man of war, before he slayed Goliath, before people sang about him, Saul killed thousands and David killed 10,000s, before he was any of that, he was a worshiper. His experience gave him boldness. And his worship gave him boldness. What do I mean by that? All right, the role of a shepherd, as I mentioned before, this dude's all by himself alone in some pasture on the other side of some mountain from his house, and he's on overnight duty. And then when the sun comes up, he's going to lead that flock through some, right, mountain range, down some valley to some other pasture that he's picked out beforehand. And guess what, right? He's going to walk all day and he's going to be by himself. What do you think David's doing day and night by himself as he looks over this flock? Well, as he says in his Psalms, oh, I meditate on your precepts. Oh, those are good. Oh, I recount your deeds. Oh, how good they are. What do you think he's doing in the middle of the night when the stars are lit up? And it's like an art show above him. He's going, oh, how wonderful are you. How powerful and majestic is your name. He learned about the nature of God and what God is like. And he worshiped God before he became a warrior. And because he knew who God was, and he knew what God was capable of by being in creation and seeing the majestic, all right, I don't have any more words, but just seeing it, the plains, the rolling hills, the sky, seeing it, he knew who God was. He knew what God was capable of, and he worshiped him. He had an intimacy with God that produced in him confidence. And we can take a page out of David's job as we go, all right, how do I roll around in this pasture, this new pasture of boldness, okay? I've got to have some experiences, right? But I also have to grow in my intimacy with the Lord. How do I grow in my understanding of God and my relationship with God? How do I grow with him? You take a page out of David's book and you go, okay, how many of us stay up late at night and we sit alone? And when I mean alone, I mean alone. Maybe the crickets are accompanying you. Right, but we're not got TVs in the background. We're not got phones, music playing. Alone. How many of us stay up all night alone? Well, that doesn't seem realistic, Zach. I don't know. You want to know God or not? You want to hear from Him or not? You decide what's realistic. I'm not saying this is what you have to do. I'm just looking at David's life. And I know this is what he was doing. I meditate on your precepts day and night. As you walk through your days, whatever job you hold, whatever responsibilities you have, whatever your day-to-day looks like, you know, do you meditate on something? Are you chewing on something? Maybe you wake up in the morning and you ask the Lord to reveal, fill in the blank. You go through your day meditating on that. You go throughout your day looking, listening, you know, for that. We grow in our intimacy with God, and the byproduct of that is a confidence to stand before and to step out, to face whatever we're facing. I think it is absolutely profound. If you turn with me back to 1 Samuel 17, just look at verse 47, or 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. His fight is a testimony, all right, to two things. One, his fight is a testimony to the world, all right, that there's a God in Israel, that the God they claim to be is. So when he cuts off the head of the Philistines, right, it's a testimony to the rest of the world that the God that they claim lives and exists, and he's real, and he's way more powerful than your carved image. And so first, when we step out in boldness against whatever, it's a testimony to the rest of the world that the God that you claim is real and lives and empowers you. Okay? The second thing that cutting off the head of David testifies to is that it testifies to Israel. Or in other words, right, it testifies to the local congregation. When you step out into boldness, it testifies to the rest of us and reminds the rest of us of who God is and what God is capable and how God saves. How God delivers. David is reminding Israel, God does not save by the spear and by the sword. How many times does he have to teach you this lesson? He took Gideon, doggone it. And he told Gideon, get the army, we're going to go to war, bring him down to the brook. And so he brought him down to the brook and he tells Gideon, all right, now look at the army. Whoever bends down and gets on all four and laps the river up with their tongue like a dog, keep them and take them to war with you. And so that was 300 men that went to war with Gideon. And they went and slayed their enemies. Time and time again, God is like, it has nothing to do with spear and sword. Give me a bunch of people who drink water like dogs. And don't give me very many of them. Because then I might be overwhelmed. And let's go. Because the battle belongs to God, David said. And so his stepping out in boldness and facing Goliath, he's reminding them that salvation does not come by sword, but by faith. Faith. Salvation comes through faith. And David had faith in who God was and his experiences with God to this point in his life. And look at me, teenagers in the room, David's a teenager. David's a teenager. Don't wait till you're old and cowardly like your parents to start walking out the faith, to start creating habits of boldness. Let's end here. You guys getting hungry? Go to Psalm chapter 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm of David. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. That's where his confidence came from recounting. I will be glad and exult in you. He was a worshiper before he was ever a warrior. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, such confidence, such certainty. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. And he acknowledges who the battle belongs to. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. David knew some things about God. And he knew what he was capable of. He knew what his nature was like, and that emboldened him. And David recounted the deeds of God, the experiences he had, and that emboldened him. Let's go roll around in a new pasture and develop these habits of boldness to testify to the world and to one another. All right, y'all stand with me. Let's pray. And then we'll eat. God, you gave the Philistines into the hand of David. And David struck him down, and the army pursued the Philistines and slaughtered them. And on the way back, they plundered their camp, and they took all the things that were good, and they brought it back home. They plundered. God, as we go out to the patio, to the sidewalk, and we eat, let us treat that as plunder. Let us be reminded of your great deeds and the great reward of trusting you. let us be reminded that we don't have to fear. For your love casts out all fear. And your love was demonstrated to us on a cross. And so let's treat it as plunder and recount the deeds and enjoy company with one another. Amen. All right. Greet one another. There's plenty of food. Plenty of food. So let's go eat.